studying broadband in the earlier part of this decade, what we found was that people with a high-speed home internet connection acted very different and did different things online from people who had a slow dial-up connection.
Really, remarkably different.
It changed people's relationships with the broader online world. And what we're finding now is that mobile access, as high-speed connections in the home have sort of proliferated, mobile access is the new sort of distinguishing characteristic of the web in the second decade of the 20th century.
And by way of transitioning to some of the findings in here, one of my takeaways was, you know, we've talked about this digital divide for so long. In some ways, mobile may actually be the way of branching, of creating this bridge across that divide.
Absolutely. And we've actually found now for a couple of years that minority Americans and specifically African Americans are extremely active on the mobile web, particularly when it comes to handheld devices like mobile phones. And that's a very different situation than what we find when we look at home broadband access, for example, where African Americans have historically trailed whites since we began studying this issue about 10 years ago. So there's a very interesting digital divide story, and I think mobile is playing a key role in sort of bridging those gaps between people who have that broadband connection at home and people that don't. And it really gives people an opportunity and an economically viable opportunity to really tap into the broader online world in a way that they might not have otherwise.
And before we delve into some of the details, because there are some really fascinating stuff in here, I want you to talk about them. But in fact, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller and I have had a little bit of an ongoing off-air debate about focus on mobile apps. And there are surveys out there that show only 30% of the people have these quote-unquote smartphones, really the high-end smartphones, the Droids, the iPhones, things like that, that allow them to use these apps. And there have been some questions, is this money well spent if you're only focusing on 30%? My sense, and your study seems to sort of reinforce that A, this is the way people are going to increasingly get information, and you're reaching out to folks who you may have been untouched before, but also this is the way of the world as we move forward. And if you're not on the board now, you're going to be perhaps left behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, every year that we measure this subject, the number of people who are going online and using sort of advanced applications on their handheld devices is continuing to grow. And you know, so this year we found that 40% of all American adults go online using a mobile phone. That's up from about a third when we asked this same question in 2009. Every activity that we asked on a year-over-year basis, whether that's playing games, accessing the internet, sort of recording multimedia content, all of those things have grown fairly dramatically. And you're absolutely right. When you compare the mobile internet population to the overall internet population, there's two things that are apparent. The first is that the mobile internet population is coming to look more and more like the population as a whole. But you're also reaching groups like young adults, like African Americans, like lower income folks, that may not be as active in other realms of the online world.
We're talking to Aaron Smith, Aaron W. Smith. He's a research specialist for the Pew Internet and American Life Project about the new report just out, Mobile Access 2010. Let's start off with kids, because I don't think that anyone will be shocked that kids are using this 18 to 29 are using these things. But some of these numbers actually blew my socks off. 95% send or receive text messages. 95%.
Yep.
That's basically everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's, even when you take out the small number of 18 to 29-year-olds that don't have a cell phone, you're still talking about 9 and 10 of everyone within that age group is texting. And I think it speaks to the fact that text messaging has become sort of the de facto communication standard for young adults, and it's the way that they keep in touch and sort of maintain contact without each other. It's how they set up meetings. It's how they talk to each other when they can't, have an out loud conversation. Clearly, text messaging is the way that those younger folks are keeping in touch with each other.
And that's the big number. As you go down the line, 83% use it to take pictures, 81% send photos or videos, 65% access the internet online. But even as you go down, 20% have purchased something, 19% made a charitable donation using text messages, which we've seen around the Gulf oil and the Haiti situation. So these are pretty impressive numbers. But also, as you move to the next category, 30 to 49, a lot of growth in that category of folks as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was referring to when I talked about earlier the mobile population becoming more and more like the population as a whole. Clearly, 18 to 29-year-olds, the young adults, as you mentioned, it's not a shock to anyone that they are the most active with these devices. But the fastest growth that we saw on a year-to-year basis was among the 30 to 49-year-old cohort. And I think it speaks to the overall mainstream of the cell phones and smartphone technologies as they become more ingrained in everything that people do, as they become more intuitive and easy to use, as they become a richer, more realistic online experience, you're seeing those technologies filter into groups that previously hadn't been using them as much as some of the early adopter groups like young adults.